check. Well, it's Tuesday, and so it's time for another video. And I wanted to share with you something that happened to me this last Friday. I decided to go on a walk with my family along the Pigeon River. And this walk started off fine, but, you know, in the end, I was reminded that nature is still angry at humanity for subjecting it to God's judgment. Nature tried to kill me. But I guess we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. As I have spent some time dealing with my wounds from nature and have had time to think, my mind kept coming back to number 16 because of something of a comparison that I see. In Numbers chapter 16, we have a rather amazing event. Korah and his clan start a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. Now, there's a few other rebellers, and we're not going to deal with them. But at this point, the people of Israel have not had a great time in the wilderness since leaving Egypt. They've complained about everything. They've complained about their lack of water. They've complained about their lack of food. They have complained about the manna that God's provided to them. And now, because of their lack of faith, just two chapters earlier, they have been told that this generation is not going to enter the promised land, which you can imagine they're not happy about. Now, those who rebelled had three reasons for their rebellion. The first is that they felt that Moses and Aaron have set themselves up over the rest of Israel, that they have taken authority that is not theirs. Moses, the second complaint was that Moses has failed to bring them into the promised land. And the third is similar to the first in that Moses and Aaron, if you take a common vocabulary, that they are picking and choosing who gets the honored positions. And so all three of these issues that they bring against Moses and Aaron are false. God chose Moses and Aaron to lead the Israelites. If you remember back in Exodus, Moses tried to get out of it. God chose which tribes would be servants in the tabernacle, and families would be leading in different divisions of the tabernacle service, not Moses. And the reason that they have not entered the promised land was because of the sin of the people. It was their sin, not the sin of Moses. But these people, I guess, because of their own selfish pride and poor understanding of God's commands, were sinning. Not first and foremost against Moses and Aaron, who they were sinning against, but first and foremost, they were sinning against God, who put them there. Friends, I want to remind you that we as people, as humans, we are prone to rebel. We have been doing it faithfully since the fall. We rebel against God. We rebel against pastors and elders. We rebel against the church. We rebel against government. We rebel against just about anything we can find. But please understand that I am not saying that there is not a time and a place for godly rebellion against unrighteousness. But what I am saying is that we are far too prone in our pride to rebel over things and in ways that are just not godly. Now, I've been listening to a little bit of the radio and watching some news, and it's amazing how much I have been hearing about rebellion against the government, especially the governor. And I'll talk a little bit about this on Thursday's video, but for now, because we are so prone to rebel, let me encourage you to take a breath. Being reminded of the fact that we are driven in a sense. We are prone to wander, as the song says. Lord, I feel it. I know it. And in light of knowing it, that should cause us to step back and say, you know what, maybe I need to move a little slower. Even as those who have been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus alone, we still have a tendency to thinking that we are always right. To thinking that we are the chief authority, to standing in pride rather than being humble before another. Whether it be someone's teaching on the word or whether it be an authority figure in the government, the same holds true. We are prone to wander. prone to rebel. We must remember that pride is always dangerous, and it is never safe ground to stand upon. So let's get back to number 16. So Korah and his cohorts have rebelled against Moses and Aaron. But Moses tells them and his fellow rebels to come out and stand before the Lord and let the Lord choose who he finds faithful. Let God decide. Let God determine if the rebellion is right or if Moses and Aaron are in the right. And then Moses says something kind of crazy. Notice how God is going to differentiate to them whether it is the rebellion that is right or whether it is Moses who is right. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 28 through 30, it says, "Then Moses said, 'This is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things and that it was not my idea. If these men die a natural death and suffer the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me.'" So he says, if these men die, if Korah and his cohorts die of natural causes, then God hasn't sent me. Now understand that that anticipates that they're going to be waiting for a long time if that's the case. Verse 30. "But if the Lord brings about something totally new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them, with everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the realm of the dead, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt." So Moses says, so if these men die of natural causes, if nothing happens tomorrow when you come out, and then it's obvious that I wasn't sent by God, that I'm a tyrannical ruler, and you should overthrow me. He says, but if something crazy happens and the earth swallows them up, and the point being is not that they kind of are magically, you know, just sent to hell. It's that they're consumed in a way that is a sudden death, and they go quickly to the grave. In other words, that their bodies disappear and they die. Then he says, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. Now notice that he doesn't say, then you will know that you've treated me with contempt. The sin, first and foremost, that they're judged by is not their sin of rebellion against Moses, but their sin of rebellion against God. Because God is the one who put Moses there. They're rebelling against God. Now, it doesn't take much to figure out what's going to happen. In verses 31 through 34, it says this: "As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground underneath them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all of those associated with Korah, together with their possessions. They went down alive into the realm of the dead with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled, shouting, 'The earth is going to swallow us too.'" This is amazing. And it is a great reminder that sometimes when we're standing in our pride, that although we may feel strong and secure, that we are not strong and secure. I want you to imagine for a moment how Korah and his fellow cohorts must have felt. We know that there's Korah and the people from his clan, then there's 250 other kind of leading men who are following after him and kind of standing behind him in one sense. We know that there's his whole family, all of his possessions, that this isn't a small number of people. And then there's Moses and Aaron, two guys standing off, separated from all of them. So you have this kind of this larger gathering, and there's confidence in numbers, right? There's confidence in that. And so you can imagine that these guys are sitting there thinking, okay, there's more of us than of them. So if we vote, we win. We're louder than they are. We're stronger than they are. And the only sign that God's given that we couldn't stand against is if the earth literally opens up and swallows us and then closes up on top of us. That's not going to happen, okay? Now, it's not like they've come across a bunch of sinkholes or quicksand in the desert, all right? And that's not the picture that this is picturing here. It's absurd. You could imagine the confidence that these guys have. They're coming out thinking, I got this. This is no big deal. We're on top. And in their pride, I'm sure they felt it. But I want to remind you again that even though we're standing in our pride, we may feel strong and secure, that we may be standing upon ground that is about to open up and swallow us up in our sin to destruction. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. As believers, we should be humble as Jesus was humble in all things. And I think that humility in all things is an area where Christians have a great deal of growth that is needed, myself included. Friends, our pride is wicked, and our rebellions are more often than not simply expressions of that sinful pride. Now, remember that I told you on Friday I was walking with my family along the Pigeon River. Now, the river was pretty high and was moving very quickly because of all the rain that we had just gotten the 2 days before. And we took a little detour to get closer to the water to get to a lookout that Jill wanted to see. And as we were walking to this lookout, I got an email. And the leadership of the church and I have been emailing a lot recently, talking about, you know, when the stay-at-home order is lifted, how and when can we get the church back together in a safe way? What things should we institute to make sure that we can get back together and worship together and keep people safe at the same time? So we've been emailing a lot, especially in the last several days, about this. Now, I have my ideas about how to do this. And over the past few days, it seemed to me like I was pushing one way and everyone else was pushing another way. And you know what? This annoyed me. And when I got that email, it was another example for me of everyone going in one direction, and it was the opposite direction that I wanted to go. So in my pride, I began to rant to my wife. I was telling her why I was right and why everyone else was wrong for not thinking that I was right. Now notice, I didn't say that they were wrong. The other ideas that some of the other guys have, they're not wrong, they're just different than mine. My issue was that they were not supporting me, that they were not affirming my ideas because they were my ideas. And although my wife had said about 100 times since we left the car to me and to the kids to stay away from the edge of the river, I was engrossed in my prideful complaints. Well, to make a long story shorter, I got close to the edge. And while I was talking and complaining, I felt confident. I felt confident that I was right. I felt secure both in the words that I was speaking and in the ground that I was standing upon, because the ground had never failed me. But then something happened. The ground that I was standing upon fell into the river. And as you would expect, when the ground you are standing upon falls a few feet into the river, you fall right behind it. And after a little bit of struggling to get out, I was in a very different place than I had been a few moments before, even though I was only a couple feet away from where I was standing before. Now, I was feeling very foolish for not listening to my wife to stay away from the edge. I was feeling very foolish about my pride in my own ideas for the church. I kept thinking in my head, I wasn't even smart enough to go on a walk and stay dry. I was wet from my chest down, and I couldn't straighten or put much weight on my left leg. It's amazing how a little fall can help you with your perspective. It can help to give you more thought to the ground that you are standing on. And even the ground that you are pridefully holding to your ideas upon. So what do I want you to get from this? My challenge to you is don't make the mistake of the people of Korah. And don't make my mistake. First, this is kind of not really related, but don't trust nature. Don't. It's angry at us, and it keeps trying to kill me. Don't trust nature. Getting back to our point, don't stand on unsteady ground. Listen to wise counsel. Remain humble and enjoy God's grace. Otherwise, you may end up in the woods, a mile from your car, all wet with a swollen knee. Or worse yet, you may end up being enveloped by the sinful ground that in your pride you thought would hold you up. Instead, stand upon Christ and walk in the humility that he did. And if you do so, he will see you through to the end. Humility is not weakness, it is wisdom. Let us walk as Jesus did. Let us walk as people humble before our great God. I hope that you cannot make my mistake. I hope that you can avoid the sins of the people of Korah. And I pray for all of you. I'll talk to you on Thursday.